It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. For decades, babysitting was a common first job for teenagers, especially girls and young women. For a lot of young babysitters, it might have gone something like this. You get old enough to watch your own siblings, maybe, while your parents had a night out, could experience heating up dinner, putting kids to bed. That if you liked babysitting or wanted to make some pocket money, you could get jobs with other families, making a couple few bucks an hour. But according to our next guest, the teen babysitter may be starting to become a thing of the past. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Did you used to babysit when you were younger? How old were you when you got that first babysitting gig? What was that experience like? If you're a parent today, do you hire the neighborhood kid for a babysitter for your kids? Why or why not? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Faith Hill is a staff writer at The Atlantic, where she recently published a piece on the rise and fall of teen babysitting in the U.S. It's called Don't Tell America the Babysitter's Dead. Faith, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks so much.
Let's start with the present day, Faith. I don't think there's a federal department of babysitting with really precise stats, but it seems pretty convincing, the picture you paint. Babysitting seems to be on the decline, the teen babysitter. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, just as you say, it's hard to track this precisely because babysitting is so informal by definition. But the people who've been kind of studying this qualitatively do think that a lot of adults today just, want older people watching their kids or, sort of more professional childcare. And part of that is just that we, tend to see kids as sort of fragile and needing a lot of oversight today as part of this sort of intensive parenting trend. And that affects, teens too, or the kids we would have thought of as teens in the past. It used to be common for people to babysit at 12 or 13. And now, a lot of people don't want to leave their kids home alone at all until they're 12 or 13 or even older. It's just the way we see kids and teens is really changing. As a part of that, the sort of way we structure their lives. A lot of kids are in scheduled activities where they wouldn't need a babysitter. And teens themselves are often in those extracurriculars too, kind of worrying about, getting into college or exploring a career path more than kind of getting the sort of responsibility and, pocket money that they might have from babysitting in the past.
You point out in your piece the babysitter was a big part of pop culture for a long time. Here's a moment from the 1992 TV series, The Babysitter's Club. The leader of the group, Christy, gets the idea to start a babysitter's club after talking to her mom about trying to find a last-minute sitter.
I still can't get a sitter.
What about Sam?
Math club.
Charlie?
Football practice.
I'm babysitting for the Newtons.
Mm-hmm.
What about Marianne?
Busy. Everybody is busy.
I'm really sorry you keep having this problem, Mom.
Oh, it's not your fault, sweetie. It's just that I work too hard to have to spend so much time trying to find a sitter.
Now, the Babysitter's Club presented babysitting in a pretty positive light. That's not the only way it's been portrayed, but can you talk about what people saw the value of babysitting for that growing tween to teenager being?
Yeah, so back in the kind of heyday of babysitting, when it was something a lot of kids and tweens and teens were doing, there was so much cultural anxiety about it. Because, we did see teens and especially teen girls as kind of like on the cusp of adulthood. And there was a lot of kind of worry about how trustworthy they were and, whether you should leave your kids alone with them. And so sort of leading up to the Babysitter's Club and this kind of super sitter trend, was a lot of, sort of portrayals of badly behaved babysitters, kind of teens, seducing the father when the mom was gone, or a lot of horror movies with kind of like irresponsible babysitters then, trapped in a house with a killer and not protecting the kids. So in that sort of context, and the historian Miriam Forman Brunel has written about this, she sort of places it in that context where parents were worried about teens and babysitters, but they still needed babysitters. They needed people to watch their kids. So the Babysitters Club was kind of a way to set a model for teens to be well-behaved and also competent and have this sort of contained freedom of babysitting. And it was also very comforting to parents. So it was kind of this back and forth and ongoing tug of war about, you know, sort of how trustworthy teens were and how we should feel about babysitters.
You talk to historians about the rise of the age of the teen babysitter. And part of the change that was going on there was if it was a mom and dad family, it wasn't just dad who would go out at night for leisure time activities. Mom might as well. This was wrapped up in a very big social change in the first half of the last century.
Yeah, it was a really big change. And, you know, starting kind of in the 1920s, leisure really changed and sort of blossomed. Like, there were new technologies that made chores easier, so it freed up couples' time a lot. Wages were growing, and people were going out to restaurants and movie theaters, you know, with that increased disposable income. Car ownership was growing, too. So all of a sudden, yeah, it was not just men, but women who were also going, you know, to spend their leisure time out of the house. And that was a big change. And you can see it was one that, you know, people were very anxious about. It was kind of like, what's going to happen to the kids when mom is not in the house? So it was, yeah, an exciting time, but a time of great change. And it was also, you know, the ways that the child care methods that people had relied on in the past were changing. So, you know, grandparents were also enjoying social lives of their own. And they were affected by these leisure trends, too. And that meant that they weren't as much around to watch kids like they used to. So that was sort of the birth of the babysitter.
Talking to Faith Hill from The Atlantic about the rise and fall of the era of the teenage babysitter. Love to hear from you if you have an experience to share, if you remember babysitting when you were younger, if you do it now, if you remember your babysitter from when you were a kid, and if you're a parent today, the idea of hiring that 12 or 14-year-old neighborhood kid to take care of your kids, is that something you do, you would do, you'd be hesitant about? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Faith, every now and then on the internet, some job listing for a babysitter will go around. There was one that was like, must have master's degree, multilingual, blah, 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 gourmet chef, that kind of thing, you know, for a low wage. I think that might be extreme. But do we have higher expectations? Are there more credentials parents are looking for the person that's going to take care of their kids these days?
Yeah, I think a lot of parents do have higher expectations. You know, and that's part of the intensive parenting trend, too, is like a lot of parents are not just worried about their kids' physical safety, but also their, you know, future financial prospects and their sort of enrichment. They want their child to get ahead. And that really, it means that a lot of them want their kid to sort of be taking advantage of the time that they have. So where, you know, a babysitter in the past might have been, you know, placing the kid in front of the TV or just playing with them. Now, you know, researchers have found that a lot of parents are like looking for babysitters who can teach them another language or, you know, play the piano. And it's really like a totally different definition of what we would even talk about as babysitting.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Connie is with us in Portage. Connie, hi.
Hi. I babysat at 12 years old, probably for, I'm 85 now, and I babysat for four children when I was 12 because I lived in this small town and there was nothing else for girls to do to make money. So you did that when you were up into high school. And but I noticed the big change with my children now. They didn't want babysitters. They wanted grandma to take care of the kids. And most of their friends also. And it wasn't because of it. What all it was they were paranoid. They were afraid that something was going to happen to their children, which I thought was very strange. The whole I don't know, their whole generation. They're so worried about their kids. And then you heard about all these hovering patients or parents, and I've seen that with my own children. So if I would have been their child, I'd go nuts. They just constantly want to be in there. They go to their, the men would go watch their sons practice. We never heard of such a thing in the 50s. I mean, my boys would have been furious if their dad would have been sitting on the bleachers watching them practice.
Connie, thank you so much for sharing that. Faith, Connie is capturing the whole story you're telling in so many ways. What do you want to point in toward on Connie's story there?
Yeah, I think, thank you, Connie. You described it so perfectly. I think that really sums it all up. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's a sort of double-edged sword where, like, it's, you know, in some ways, these are good changes because it is true that, you know, on average, parents are spending more time with their kids than they used to. And, you know, one researcher pointed out to me, like, on average, like, kids probably are safer now than they used to be. But, you know, as you're saying, there's definitely a loss, you know, with everything so sort of structured and scheduled. And kids do really lose some element of freedom and sort of gaining responsibility over time.
Connie, thanks a lot for the call. We're talking to Faith Hill, staff writer at The Atlantic. Her latest piece is under the headline, "Don't Tell America the Babysitter's Dead," about the changing role of babysitting in American culture. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your experiences as a babysitter, past or present, as a parent now, if you hire the local kid, the cousin, whatever, as a babysitter yourself. Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with staff writer Faith Hill from The Atlantic about her latest piece on the bygone era of teenage babysitters. Let's go back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Elizabeth is with us in Madison now. Elizabeth, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Back in the 60s, I guess it would be, I loved when my mom and dad got us babysitters. We got special treats and snacks, and it was like a big deal. Then in the 70s, when I was in seventh and eighth grade, I began babysitting for 50 cents to a dollar an hour. A dollar was a big deal. Sometimes three kids at a time. Nobody seemed worried about leaving their kids with me. But later, and it prepared me for my eventual career as a teacher, actually. So that was kind of fun. When I had my own child, actually, I don't think we ever hired a babysitter. We used grandma. So That's kind of the history of my babysitting experience.
Elizabeth, thanks for sharing that. And Faith, Elizabeth mentioned job skills related to becoming a teacher later. But this idea that this is a way for young people, especially young girls, to develop, you know, responsibility skills, whether they became teachers or not. This was viewed as kind of a job and responsibility training program in some ways.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I think that was really special. You know, it was sort of a job that really would give you some responsibility, which felt good, but also in a, you know, it, as you say, it was kind of with training reels, like a starter job. And I think, you know, when you're young, it really is meaningful to start having someone trust you, and especially in a time when there's so much you can't control and you can't do. I think for a lot of teens, that was really meaningful growing up to, you know, start little by little, feeling like they could take on some responsibility. But yes, in this way, that was sort of also acknowledging their the way in which they were also childlike.
Thanks for sharing that experience, Elizabeth. Tasha joins us now in Green Bay. Tasha, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I started babysitting when I was 13, and then I babysat full-time in the summers when I was off school as a 14-year-old through high school, and so did all of my sisters who were older than me. I'm 30 now, so that was like in the 2000s. It was a really important experience, and I have a two-year-old now who's babbling, and I don't think I would need that much qualifications from a kid to babysit him. I would just want to know them and know that they're like somewhat responsible to have them babysit my own two-year-old.
And Tasha, I got to ask, is there a 12 to 14-year-old in mind who you could see they could be a babysitter, a niece or nephew or neighbor kid or something like that?
Not off the top of my head, but like I certainly know folks with kids. My generation's also just like not having as many kids. So like there aren't that, I feel like it's just like not as common now.
Sure.
Like I don't know as many people with kids that are around that age right now.
Tasha, thank you so much for telling us about that. And Faith, that reminds me, something that struck me in your piece is, you know, that parent now who might, like Tasha, be willing to hire that kid might not know that kid because we don't know our neighbors as well these days. Or as Tasha says, we don't have as many kids lying around here. How big a part of the change is that?
I think it's a really big part. And I was just thinking about that, too. You know, reporting this, I talked to a lot of people who, you know, said, I might trust a teen if I really knew them, but somehow the combination of seeing teens as quite young still, and also just not knowing that many teens often when we're adults, I think is a really big part of this. Babysitting used to be something that happened within communities. You know, it was like the teen that you had seen grown up and you knew who they were as a person. And it's a much bigger ask to, you know, ask parents to trust someone that they don't know that well, who's also young.
Tasha, thanks a lot for calling in. Jim joins us now in Portage. Jim, hello.
Hi, Rob. Rob, I'm 76 years old now, but when I was about 12, all the girls in the school were talking about the street fair coming to our little town and how they were all going to make a lot of money babysitting. So I thought I would be clever. I went down to the local newspaper and I put a classified ad in. I said, 12-year-old looking for babysitting jobs. And the phone rang off the hook day and night, people calling. But I never got a job as soon as they found out I was a male.
Wow. Jim, thank you for sharing that. And Jim brings up a big point there, Faith. This is super gendered. Like, I remember being a teenage boy. This is not on my radar at all. I don't think I was on anybody's radar to babysit. I was kind of an idiot anyway. But this is mostly girls we're talking about. Why such a huge gap there?
Yeah, it's so true. It is a big gap. And I think one reason for that is just that we do so associate caregiving with girls and women. And I think, you know, that came up a lot in reporting this piece, was just the way in which, you know, we have taken babysitting for so long as something so casual. And in some ways that was great, but it was also sort of assuming that, you know, parenting or caregiving comes naturally even to young girls. And one researcher I talked to had found that when she interviewed teen girls, they were actually like, you know, they wanted to do well at it and wanted to make money, but it wasn't this sort of like just immediate, intuitive, nurturing sense that we kind of, you know, have this idea that all girls and women feel. And sometimes that can lead to girls like not being paid enough for babysitting. So in some ways that was, you know, sort of a reason that some people I talked to felt it was good that babysitting is kind of formalizing a little bit and being taken more seriously.
Thanks a lot for sharing that story. We're talking to Faith Hill, writer at The Atlantic, talking about the rise and what looks like the fall of the teen babysitter in American culture. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Rita is with us in Sorona. Rita, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
Well, when I was like 13, 14, 15 years old, I had a full-time sitting job. I worked for a woman who worked second shift at a factory, and I got home from school, high school about 3:30. I got myself together, and I walked over to her house, and I got there about 3:15. She had me to work at food, and I'd be there for days.
Oh, you're breaking up, Rita, but I think we got the gist. Rita basically covered what sounds like a second shift at a factory, a full-time babysitting job. Faith, as you talk to researchers and others, are we usually talking about a couple few hours here and there, or did we see full-time babysitters a lot in the heyday of babysitting?
I think, you know, there was a lot of variation, but I got the sense that even if there were long hours, you know, a lot of young babysitters kind of felt like the situation was under control because the parents knew that they were young and it was this sort of job with training wheels. So, you know, a lot of them would be at the house for a long time, but by the time they got there, the kids would be put to bed, or, you know, the parents would put, you know, snacks for all of them or leftovers to heat up in the fridge. And so it was sort of, it's a really hard job, but it, you know, it's changed a lot, and it used to be kind of designed to be manageable for people who are still growing up.
Thanks for that call, Faith. And just our last minute or so, as you talk to people about babysitting, is there any sense that we're going to go back, that the teenage babysitter can make a comeback, or are we kind of locked into what we got now?
I think it's a really good question, and it's hard to say exactly, but I mean, my hope is that there can be some kind of middle ground found, because I can understand why parents would be nervous about hiring young people to watch their kids. And, you know, I think it's fair. And I do think, you know, childcare is hard, and it should be taken seriously. So it makes sense that we don't always see it so casually now. And, you know, we wouldn't want to go back to the 1950s in a lot of ways. But at the same time, I think it can be really meaningful for teens to start gaining responsibility beyond just, you know, the sort of test prep and extracurriculars, which are their own kind of responsibility. But I think there was something really unique and special about babysitting as kind of a rite of passage, both for the teens who did it and also for the kids, you know, who I think kind of got role models in teens who were, you know, old enough to be responsible, but young enough to be really cool in the kids' eyes. And I remember loving that.
Faith, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Faith Hill, staff writer at The Atlantic. We've been talking about her latest piece, Don't Tell America the Babysitter's Dead. Looks at the history of teen babysitting in the U.S. and how it's changed, risen, and fallen over the years. You can keep sharing your babysitting stories with us. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.